My name is Matt Gonzalez. Welcome to my podcast, One Question with Matt G. My whole life I've been very curious, asking who, what, when, why, how. And that's what's brought me here to you. Every single week I'm going to have a special guest on and I'm going to ask them one question. What question am I going to ask them this week? Well, you'll just have to find out on One Question with Matt G. Today on One Question, my guest is Shelby Powell. Hi, Shelby.
Hi, Matt.
It's great
to be here.
Happy. Yep. It's great to see you. It's great to have you on the show. Shelby is one of our market leaders at Insight Global's Houston location. And I get to work with Shelby on a regular basis, which is just a joy for me. You picked a great question today, something that I care a lot about. But I think it's something people don't think about very often. So Shelby, I have one question for you.
Okay.
How do you become a good teammate?
Well, Matt, thanks for the introduction. I think that being a good teammate is different for every team, and it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all answer. I think it's an accumulation of a lot of small acts over time that then create a culture of a good team. If you look at the best sports team across the world, you look at the best businesses, the best teams in Insight Global, it's an accumulation of a lot of small things over time. And I had my thoughts about what being a teammate meant to me and what I thought our culture was, and I asked my team, and I had all 22 of them send me what it means to them. And so I created something called the 4 C's of being a good teammate.
Oh, first of all, I love anything that's numbered. Also, for words that I like really like, I'm interested to see if you hit some of my favorite words, but there's a lot of C words that like I think are super important to personal development, maybe team development. You're going to put this in a new perspective, but I'm not going to say any of the ones I love. So I cannot wait to hear the 4 C's.
I almost did a fifth one with consistency, because I know that's probably one you're talking about, but it ties into some of these. So the first one is care.
That's one of my favorites. One of my favorites.
First one is care. And I can tell you the 4 ones and kind of elaborate on each of them.
I don't want to be waiting to find out what they are. So tell me what they all are, and then we can go deep on each one.
All right. So care, number one, that's the, you know, the nucleus of it all. Communicate, compete, and cheer for each other.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed the last three. Care, I knew care was going to be in there. But communicate, love it. I got so many thoughts there. Compete, that's a really interesting one, but now I'm like, oh, I see where that's coming from. Cheer, I really like that too. Cheerlead. So all right, so let's get into these.
All right, let's do it. So starting with care, I think that great teammates care about their effort, their performance, their impact on the team, but I think more than anything, they care about their teammates. And part of caring is just paying attention and taking inventory of the small things and following up on them. Big thing there is doing it with expecting nothing in return. And I think an example is, Matt, your wife likes to paint. You just ran a marathon. You know, it's just maybe someone's family is going through something. I think it's just paying attention, actively listening and taking inventory of those things and following up on them and not forgetting them. And over time, that builds a culture that, okay, wow, this person listens to me and they care about me. And I think that is number one to building a culture.
I totally agree. And care is something that really presents itself in a lot of different ways. I love the examples you just use, but it's also noticing changes in people, right? Good or bad, caring about someone to be like, oh, I wonder what caused that. I wonder, are they okay? And then doing something about it, checking on them. Care is not keeping things to yourself, but saying stuff to people.
Yeah.
Care is giving people feedback. coaching, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think if your group doesn't care about each other, you're going to be hard pressed to build a good team.
Yeah, I think that a big part of care is like the follow through and following through on your word, and that builds trust. And when you give trust, you get trust, and it's doing what you say you're going to do. And so the part about care, I think accountability goes hand in hand with care, which again, we talk about all the time at Inside Global, but it's caring enough about people to celebrate them, which cheer, obviously the fourth one, but first one being care is I remember in, you know, I was my first year at Inside Global, and one of my closest relationships and partnerships in the company was Seth Pierce, who is now our, you know, regional recruiting manager. And we were very, very close. I was close with his wife and we had a great relationship, but I was not doing well on a big project for Houston. And I remember he sat me down and was like, "You are not doing well. And I need you to be better because this is a big project for Houston." And I will never forget that conversation. I went and I cried in my car. And then 2 seconds later was like, "I got to be better because the team needs me." And he cared enough to have that conversation with me. And had he not had that, then who knows what would have been the result. So
that is something I think people can get wrong about care all the time. They think caring is not having that hard conversation. Care is not giving the tough feedback. But the opposite is true to what you just said. If you care about someone, you'll say it. If you don't care about someone, you won't. I actually reading a book right now, Adam Grant's Hidden Potential, I believe it's called. Great book. Recommended to everyone out there. But they talk a lot about care in the book. And one of the stats he used, which I thought was fascinating, was they did a study and they intentionally put something schmutz in someone's teeth and saw how often someone would point it out to them. What do you think the percentage of the time people pointed out that there's some broccoli in your teeth?
50%.
3.5% of the time someone said something. Now, when they surveyed the people afterwards, they said, "I didn't want to come across as impolite and I didn't want to say anything to the person." But then, you know, as they talk to the people, they're like, "Well, don't you care that that person's walking around with stuff in their teeth?" And they're like, "Yeah, I just didn't want to hurt their feelings." But when you really think about it, if you actually cared, you'd say something right away.
Yeah.
And I even think about it this way, like, Shelby, if your husband has stuff in his teeth, you're telling him, right?
100%.
Emily's got something in her teeth or she's got lipstick on her teeth, I'm saying something. And it's because we love those people and so we care about them. But how do you have that care when you don't have that intimate, you know, such a close relationship? And I think it is possible, but it does start with those hard conversations. And a very nice segue for you, and great communication.
Great communication. Love the segue. Last thing I'll say on care is that those conversations become a lot easier when it's very clear how much you care. It doesn't matter what you're saying. It's received well because it comes from a good place.
Totally agree.
Which communication is extremely important. And I think that throughout the last 6 years, I think that we are going 90 miles an hour all the time. And so being present is a lot easier said than done. And so being present, I think, is the number one thing with communication. It's being present in your conversations. It's being present in, you know, as a leader in reports or as an account manager with your customers, because this is being a teammate is very applicable to customers. And actively listening. And I think that we're all guilty of, you know, having a 10-minute conversation and then leaving it and being like, "Wait, what did they just tell me?" Because your mind is elsewhere. And so I think communication is just so big on being present and stopping and being in the moment. And if you can at that time, then say that and get back to it when you can do that. Because if you forget things or if you don't follow up on those things, which accountability is a huge piece of communication, then it builds a culture that you don't really care and they don't really have to communicate with you because you're not going to remember it anyway. So I think that's number one. Part of communication is taking and giving feedback properly and effectively. Each teammate like at the root of it needs to understand the objective and the part in they played in the team's goal. And I think the communication really, I think that that and care is number one. Care has to, no one's going to perform unless they know they have a team that, that cares about them. But communication and everyone understanding their role in the team and the part they play in the team and what the end goal is and everyone's chipping away at the same goal is exactly how you achieve goals. I mean, I think you ask yourself, do I understand what the team and the company's overall mission is? Does my manager know what I'm prioritizing and why? And do my goals and actions affect the team's progress and the team's objective and goal? And I think that those are three very reflective questions that if you don't know, if you're communicating properly, mm-hmm. if you don't know if you're impacting the team, that you can stop and ask yourself.
I couldn't agree more. And what that all equals, Shelby, the really simple thing that I like to always say about communication, communication is the cornerstone of trust. So you just gave a three-question essay on like how to build trust. And it's yeah. all through communication. What people sometimes lack to understanding of is trust breaks down when one party is wondering what's going on with the other party. It could be what they're doing. It could be what they're thinking. Right. It can be why they're doing something. Right. But if you're not communicating well. Right. And let's use this example. Let's say you're working really hard on a project or you're a salesperson. Let's say you're making a lot of outbound calls. You're trying to get a hold of customers, but you're having a really hard time. If you're not communicating, you know, we all know I love proactive communication, but if you're not communicating mm-hmm. to your leader or your team, hey, I'm working my butt off. This is what I'm trying, but I'm struggling. Then they're going to immediately be like, I wonder what so-and-so is doing all the time. Why aren't they being more productive? Why aren't they getting more done? Right. And it's because that communication's there, right? To flip that on leaders, like you said, is if I'm a leader and I have coaching or feedback for you and I don't give it, you're going to wonder what I'm thinking about you because I haven't given you feedback in a long time. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you don't trust me as your leader. You're worried the care isn't there because I'm not communicating things that you are doing well and things you need to do better.
And I think it also builds some insecurity in the job. Yes. If you don't know where you stand, I think, you know, if you're having as a leader, let's say you have about a week, you're low on locks, your new meetings aren't where they need to be. And if you're just sliding by waiting to your report to say something, you're going to be anxious about it. It's just going to build insecurity instead of, hey, here is where we ended the week. I know this is unacceptable, but this is my plan next week to turn it around. And I will. I think that it really helps with confidence getting on top of it. So
I couldn't agree more. It's really easy to do when you do it. It's really hard mm-hmm. to do if you make it a really hard thing. And we're lucky that, you know, we try to be very active communicators at Insight Global. I think we lose perspective on this, but there, most places, you're not talking to your leader or your teammates as much as we do. We talk a lot, you know, every week. You know, there's organizations where you might not get feedback, but once or twice a year, which if you want to talk about not feeling like a teammate, think that's a great way to go.
Yeah. I mean, perspective is, I get it every day. My husband works for a large oil and gas company and he was nervous to tell his manager that he's applying for a promotion within the same group that he's in. And it's so unrelatable for us because that is such a normal thing. And I think we forget to lose the perspective about how lucky we are mm-hmm. to have that. Yeah. So agreed.
All right. We're two C's down.
All right. Three C's to go. Compete. I think that this can get easily confused with celebrating.
Hot take. Yes. I like that.
Yeah. So something that Sean says all the time that really sticks with me is we want to celebrate the extraordinary. We don't want to celebrate, you know, a lot of culture and building culture is by what you celebrate. And so this is not celebrating. I think you can celebrate when you've done more than what your job is. Like you made 200 cold calls. That is your job. You know, you
locked up a deal. Start a week.
That's your job.
Yeah.
But But I think that, and so you celebrate the wins, and you celebrate when you've hit milestones, when you've gone above and beyond. And I think you should celebrate those things all day long. But cheer is in here because I think you got to cheer for each other along the way. I think that. Also, I just skipped over.
You
compete.
Did.
Compete
was number 3. We were in compete, and then you just we transported into cheer.
It's okay.
And I like at first I was like, man, I'm fascinated to see where this goes. I'm fascinated.
We will circle back on compete.
Yeah, let's go with cheer right now. We're in cheer. We're all the way deep into cheer.
We really committed to cheer where we're in, but compete's the longest one, so we'll stick with cheer. But
we'll get there.
But no, I just you got to celebrate the extraordinary, and you got to cheer for people along the way on the journey to be extraordinary. I think that people have a lot of good days along the way, and they have bad days. And I think if you are scared to fail publicly, then you're not on the right team. And I think you have to be okay with failing publicly, and you have to be okay with winning publicly, and you have to know that people are there cheering you on along the way. And it creates just a feeling of unity, and we win together, because that's the most important, and that's what builds career sustainability.
The best teams I have ever seen are teams that cheer each other on, right? The worst teams I have ever seen are the teams that, and this is human nature, are like, I can't believe that person is doing that. They get to do it because of this excuse. You know, they got taken care of better than I did, or they're full of it, or that should be me. And look, those are natural thoughts. But good teams are people that are like, man, I am so proud of that person. I'm so grateful to work next to them. This is awesome. Right. But the worst version of that is I can't believe they're getting that opportunity. I can't believe they're seeing that success. And so that is where that cheer comes into play big time.
Yeah. And it can just be as simple as like, hey, I heard you on that cold call. I know you're struggling. It's a new AM. Let me sit down and help you. Let's cold call together. I'll help you with your rebuttals. It could be so simple. But it's just rooting people on and creating the knowing that no one is better than anyone else. And even for me, it's like, if I'm on zone and someone does something great, 100, I'm going to cheer for them, but I'll also pick up the phone and do it myself. And I think it's like, no one is above anything else. And we cheer for each other, and we'll do things for each other that are outside of our job description, because we're going to help each other out. So
I saw a really cool example of this, last week. Jack and I, my 13-year-old son, we were at an Atlanta United playoff game. There was a wide open goal, and one of the Atlanta United players missed it. Like, there was no goalie, nothing. He hit it and it went above the goal. And the crowd started, it was a close game, the crowd started booing him. And their star player, Yakamaki, he started giving the crowd a no-no. And then he started lifting his arms like they all needed to cheer. And he went and hugged the guy that missed and was like getting everyone to cheer, because it was like, you know what? He took a shot and missed. He messed up. But we're a team, and we're going to lift each other up, and we're going to keep going. And so I think cheering really applies. And then the whole stadium, you know, all 50,000 people started cheering for him. And it just completely in a moment, because he's a great teammate. That's what I learned while I was watching that game. I go, that guy is a great teammate. He just lifted that guy up, right? And you don't get a lot of shots in soccer, so like that could have cost them the game. Luckily it didn't, but he in the moment was like, no, we're not tearing this guy down. We're building him up because we're going to keep going. And he got 50,000 people to change their tune in seconds. And that's a great teammate, right? That's the other part of cheering. Sometimes you got to cheer people on when they're at the lowest, when they've messed up, when they make mistakes, which we want people to do. That's going to happen. That's a good thing. That's how they learn. But it shouldn't just be cheering people on when they're doing, your point, exceptional work. It should also be cheering people on when they just need it.
Yeah. It's a great example.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then finally, to compete every single day.
This one almost feels opposite of cheer, which is fascinating, but it's not.
I know.
It's not.
But I think that it can be channeled in. I mean, you can look at being a teammate in so many aspects of this job, whether it's partnerships, recruiting, you know, professional recruiter and AM partnerships, customer partnerships, anything. And I think competing is so important, because there is a sense of competing with each other. That's obviously not number one, but I think that you compete for each other, with each other, and you just don't let anyone outwork you. And I think when you create the culture of this is our standard and this is who we are, you want to compete to meet that standard that culture, that team has set. I think about the best coaches in the world, and the standard is set for their team that to be on this team, this is the expectation, and this is how competitive we are, and this is how hard we work, and this is what it takes. So I think that one really made sense. And I think it's never being complacent. I think it can be easy to be it, you know, 50K, or maybe you got promoted in 5 months, or maybe you're a leader that you've bonused a couple quarters and you think you're doing well. I mean, I think at any point you can ride this high of, okay, I'm doing good, but I think you've got to continue to find a way to compete, because tomorrow it could all go away, or tomorrow your biggest account could go on a hiring freeze, or, you know, anything can happen at any time. And I think it's staying hungry and always building a culture around staying hungry and like instilling it in your team's nature to give maximum effort. And by doing that, they force the entire team and other teams to do the same. So
yeah, I know
that one's really big.
When I was in sales, the people that were around me, when they did something great, right? And or maybe just did something, maybe not even great, but just consequential, right? Set a meeting with a big customer, you know, locked up a start, whatever it was, it motivated me to do better. I did want to be the best. I didn't want them to do worse. I wanted them to do their best, and then I wanted to do my best and beat them. But I still cared about them. And I still think that way a lot. And I think it's really healthy. It's really, really healthy. It's okay to want to be the best as long as you want to be the best against the best, right? It's like the fighter who won't compete against someone that's not 100%, because they're like, well, no, I want to prove that I'm the best, but they got to be at their best for me to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's the culture you create with a strong team. It's like, you're not doing it to beat somebody. You're doing that because that is a standard that is set, and you want to meet that standard and be your best. And that's different for everyone. But I think that you can allow complacency to creep in, and that can be, even with one single person, that can be, you know, a domino effect. And so just not allowing complacency, all these C words, complacency, consistency, compete, share. There's a lot of good
coach,
C words here that we could have chosen
so much
from.
In there.
But you just got to compete. And that could be an example is, you know, you have an interview time, you feel good about your candidate, you have the exclusive, sell the go to work.
Yeah.
You know, you and the recruiter call and sell the go to work. It could be, you have a goal of 3 new meetings on before the end of the week. It's a Friday afternoon. You have your 3, make 20 more cold calls and set the 4th.
Yeah.
It's just finding ways to always be competing.
Yeah. All right, Shelby. So last part of this pod. If you have someone come to you and you're like, look, I'm not on a good team. It's like, it's hard for me to be a good teammate because I don't have good teammates around me. I don't like, we're not a good team. What would be your advice for like where they even start? Right. We just covered all the stuff you got to do, but let's say you're like, feel like I have no control. Another C word. We're just on a C kick.
Yeah. We're on a kick.
Yeah. But I've got no control over how other people act. Right. But I'm not on a good team. Like what advice would you give that person?
I would tell them that it doesn't matter what your role is. You can make a difference, and to look in the mirror first. What can you be doing that could slowly over time start to change that? And I think that with care, like we talked about, comes conversations. Oh. And
we're not even doing it on purpose, everyone.
I did not mean for all these things to happen. But having the conversations that need to happen to instill those things. And that can be talking to your leader, talking to each other. And that could also be taking initiative and saying, hey, let's do a team lunch. Let's all take a team personality test, and let's sit for an hour over a drink and talk about like our work personality and how we can help each other. I think it's just taking action and first self-reflecting on, are you a good teammate? And if you feel like you are, which I don't think anybody's perfect, I could probably reflect today and find a million things that I'm not doing right and that I could be doing better. I think everybody can. And if you then after reflection, think that there are ways you can improve, and then also just talk to people and voice that and talk to your leadership and talk to your peers and try to build something. It doesn't take a lot. Like I said, it's a lot of small things over time, and it's just taking inventory of those small things, because the reason I chose this, not to like deflect your question, but it's like, you can only win alone for so long before you don't have fulfillment. You know, people start this job young, or any job, let's just say, and all you want to do is make money, right? And that's your purpose. And then you start to grow up, and the money comes, and you start to realize that it's the people that are what builds a sustainable career, and that the people around you are what keeps you and what makes you excited to go to work, and what makes you excited on a Sunday to go to work on Monday. It's having the fulfillment that you're doing it with people that are your teammates and that have your back and that care. And I think that just builds sustainability, and that's what keeps people here for years and years and years. So it's the number one, in my opinion, most important thing that you can do is be a good teammate and build a good team.
I love that. Shelby, this has been an amazing episode. I'm going to write a book after this called C is the Most Important Letter.
The book's going to be titled C.
C. That's it. I'll definitely give you credit. But this is awesome. This is one of my favorite things to talk about. I've actually said for years, you know, my purpose is to teach people to be great coaches, great leaders, and great teammates. And I never really put... broken it down into a science as much as you had. So this was really helpful for me. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Happy to be here.
All right. Thanks, Shelby.
Thanks, Matt.